one.
Hey, everybody. It is Love Your Digs, where we talk about all kinds of things that buyers, sellers, and home dwellers will need to know to love their digs even more. Today, we're going to be talking about wills and estates. And did you know that Aretha Franklin died without a will? And can you imagine the world of her? I know, right? So my co-host, Karin, is just dying. She's laughing here.
Hello.
Hello, Karin. Karin Hoffman, fellow Digs Tribe member and co-host on Love Your Digs. So Aretha Franklin, she died without a will. So today, we are going to be talking to Armine Bazikian. She is a lawyer. Don't throw tomatoes at her. She's a good lawyer. She's a good person. She does trust, estates, wills, trust administration, will administration. I don't know. I'm probably botching it, but she is the person who will help you from being in Aretha Franklin's estates position, which is a whole world of hurt. Thank you for coming on my show, Armine.
Thank you for having me, Kendall. I'm excited.
I'm glad you're excited. Okay, what people don't know is that Armine is a fellow Bruin, actually a crazy woman, but she's going to give me lawyer voice right now because she is in lawyer mode, and that's okay, but she's a crazy lady.
Can I ask Armine a question before you get started?
Already? Before we've even started? Yeah, okay, go. Well, ask.
Armine, why wouldn't Aretha Franklin have a will?
He apparently never got around to doing it, according to her copyright attorney. He basically urged her to do it, recommended that she get it done, and she apparently, according to him, never got around to doing it, which is the most common thing that I hear. So it's not
Do you think it's because she thought she would never die, or she thought she had more time? What do you think happened here?
I think for her, since he recommended it, and you know what, for a copyright attorney to recommend it to you, most of the time they'll say, hey, you need to go find an estate planning attorney, get it done. But when the client doesn't listen to you, which is pretty common, right? There's nothing much you could do about it. So I don't know why she didn't do it. She probably, you know, people think that they're going to live longer than they are. It's always the case. You don't never want to face this negative event that's going to take place in your life, and you always put it on the back burner. This is not the second or third item on people's to-do list ever. I'm usually like the last thing and the last person they want to deal with. It's a very emotional process, so it's what you avoid doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that people, I mean, when we did our first estate planning, I think we were probably in our 30s. Have you done your estate plan?
No. Karin?
You haven't?
I mean, I don't think so.
Oh, good
Lord.
What
do I need to do?
Well, first of all, you're going to have to talk to Armine.
I have no idea. I mean, I know I don't have a will.
If you don't know, that means you probably don't have anything.
I know I don't have a will.
I mean, dude, and you're not exactly a spring chicken.
Yeah, I am. I'm chickeny enough.
But you're like older than 20, and you own a house and you have children.
Yeah, I think once you have kids and once you buy your first large investment, that's kind of when you need to, you know, start thinking about it and start exploring.
Oh my God, you know, you have life. Okay.
So I have life insurance.
Okay. So we're basically doing the podcast here for Karin. But you know what? I'll bet you, Armine, you talk to people all the time who should have a will or a trust or an estate, and they don't.
All the time.
Okay.
Right? What do you think is the biggest hurdle for people getting it done?
I think it's an emotional process. I think it's an overwhelming process. And I think it could be costly for some people to get it done. So they avoid it. And you know what? And I get approached by people that come and consult with me most of the people that come and consult with me are well into their 40s when they start thinking about it. And one of the biggest pushes or motivations for people to do it is when they see a friend or a family member die at a young age. All of a sudden, there's an urgency to getting it done. But I really think it's an emotionally, you know, drawn out negative process in the minds of these people, and they're afraid to talk to an attorney because they're visualizing their attorney to be like this big bad wolf. But it's not that type of process at all. I mean, Kendall, you can attest to it. Simply having a conversation. Awesome. You know, I want to sit there with you and learn about your goals, what you have in mind, what you envision happening with the future of your children and your loved ones.
You did ask me some uncomfortable question.
I know.
Who's going to take care of my kids? I, you know, that's a very uncomfortable. I mean, okay, so let's scare people straight.
Okay.
Okay. We're gonna be straight out of, well, not out of Compton. We'll be straight out of Montrose. And we're gonna scare you people straight. What happens if somebody dies, you know, without getting a trust done? Let's just say that it's somebody who actually does own a house. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about people who don't have real estate yet. I mean, y'all think that you don't have an estate to deal with, but you do, trust me. But let's start with people who have a house. Let's just say they don't have kids yet. That's probably not, if you have a house, you probably have kids, right?
That's not true.
Okay. All right. Well, what can happen? What is a terrible thing that can happen if you don't have a trust? You don't have a will.
So the trust is like our secret loophole in California, right? But before we get into the trust, let me back up for a minute. In California, if you have over $150,000 in value in any type of asset that is not a beneficiary designated asset. And by that, I mean, you can't fill out a form at the bank and say, I want this $200,000 to go to my daughter. That's a beneficiary designation form. So if there's an account or an asset and you don't have the option of doing that beneficiary designation and the value is over $150,000, it's going to go through a probate court before it comes out on the other end when you've passed away. So the real question is, how can I avoid probate altogether? And one of the loopholes in the system.
Why do you want to avoid probate?
Oh my God, it's the worst.
I'm dead. I don't care. Let them fight over it, right?
You know, no. A lot of people have that mentality. They're like, well, you know what? Let my kids figure it out. But at the end of the day, we can maximize what goes into your beneficiary's pocket because probate is extremely expensive. So let's say you have a home worth $500,000 in wherever. And you have a mortgage of $400,000 on that property, probate does not care what your equity is. Probate will base all of the values of how much your attorney gets paid and all of the costs associated based on the value of the property. And they'll use the 500 number and not the $100,000 equity that your kids are going to get at the end of the day.
That's going to just take all the money away from anybody.
Yeah. And all of the fees for probate are based on statutory law. So they're all based on law. It's written in the law how much your attorney gets. It's written how much your filing fees are. And it goes up incrementally with the increase of the assets. So if you have $1 million, you're going to pay more than somebody who has $200,000. So it's like this rolling scale and it just increases as it goes. And they don't take into consideration any of your liabilities when they're basing the value. So like for an average like condo in Glendale, like I have a simple estate right now. All she had was a condo. It was like $350,000. My probate fees are somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000. Why would you pay that to an attorney when you can pre-plan ahead of time for only a couple of $1,000 and save your kids the rest of that money?
Right, right. So even though you don't want to think about it, that's taking, you know, really a lot of money.
It could. And that's assuming that nobody's fighting over anything and nobody causes, trouble. That never happens when
people pass away, right?
Yeah. Wait, Armine, now I'm like, obviously I haven't done a thing here. I don't think I have. Unless my husband has. Like, where do I... How do I start?
Can't do that without you.
I know. Well, so obviously I haven't done anything. I have a house.
Okay. So where would Karin start?
How do I start? Like besides calling you, like what do I need to do? I'm so confused.
So for our office, the starting point is that initial meeting.
I'm sweating.
Okay. She's fidgeting over here.
So I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yeah. Sorry.
So our process is rather simple. I try to make it as simple as possible for the potential person coming in because we don't want to stress you out more than you're already stressed out. Right. So we start off with just a conversation. We learn more about what it is that you have. A lot of times somebody will consult with me and I'll say, you know what? You don't really need a trust. We can get this done in other means. For example, if somebody walks in and says, hey, you know, I have a $200,000 savings account and I don't intend to do anything with it. It's just a savings account. I'm going to keep it that as it is. That person doesn't need a trust necessarily because the bank that they're with will have a back end method of transferring it to the next beneficiary, whoever they want. So, you know, we'll give them the options and say, hey, you could do a trust, but you can also go this method. Which one would you prefer? So it's not necessarily the case where every single individual needs a trust, but if you have real estate in California, there is no backdoor easy method of transferring it other than putting it in a trust.
Got it.
Okay.
So she would meet with you. So I'll bet you that, you know, somebody who wants to talk to a trust attorney needs to gather a lot of documents and information. Do you have like a checklist or, I mean, where would people start with that?
Yeah. So when you call our office, we basically send you out a questionnaire, and it's just to get your mind thinking about the types of questions that we're going to ask and the types of information that we're going to need. You know, I don't need account numbers and, you know, specifics, but I need you to know that you have, you know, I need you to basically have the general information like, hey, I have a home in Glendale or Montrose or wherever. And I also have a savings account with about $20,000 and an investment account with about $100,000 and this life insurance policy with, let's say, whatever, Allstate or something like that. That's all you need to know to get the process starting. Once we start the drafting process, that's when you're kind of going to get organized. During the time that I'm drafting everything, I want you to get organized and make a financial either Excel sheet or something where you write down all of your information. So it'll be homework assignments throughout the process.
Okay. Yeah. And your homework assignments were very clear. There wasn't anything that confused me. So just know it's not as overwhelming as you think. You're just going to eat that elephant one little bite at a time.
Well, now I'm stressed out. It's easier than going to the dentist.
I like the dentist, so I'm okay.
You're weird. Nobody likes the dentist. I mean, I love my dentist. I don't like going to the dentist.
I do. Okay.
I'd rather go to lunch with her than see her. Okay. Right. So I have a question for you. What is the most surprising thing to people that meet with you? Like, what have they never thought about as part of their trust that you ask them to think about?
Ooh, that's a good one. There's so many. I think the most alarming, I think most people that come in, especially with couples, they're very concerned about what happens when both of them are gone. So their main number one concern is when we're both gone, we want to make sure we have this set up for our children, or we want to make sure it goes to the right beneficiary. But they never think about how much control they want to give the other spouse when only one of them is gone. So I think that's the most alarming, or the most shocking question that I ask. Their reaction will tell me that they haven't really considered how much control to give their spouse when they're gone. So I'll ask, certain questions, and their
whole. I mean, wait,
I know that's what I was thinking.
Do you want to?
Oh, because you're going to divide it with maybe between the kids and the spouse.
Are you also talking about like if your spouse were to get remarried?
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about a scenario where I want to know if you're gone. Do you want everything to go to your husband? Let's assume that you have a fairly modest estate.
Oh yeah,
Chris. I hope Chris doesn't listen to that. She just said no.
Well, because I was thinking if he remarries, and exactly. I'm like, I want it to go to my kids. Like I want most of my money to go to my kids. He can have some, I guess, but not for the new wife. Oh. Right.
So there's things we could do to set it up that way where you have your cake and you eat it too. You tell your husband, hey, yeah, I want you to use this money in your old age or retirement or whatever, but I want you to know that you can't touch this pot and this little basket. And when you're gone, this basket goes to my kids, and you have no option of actually you have no option to change the beneficiaries around. So you can't bring in new kids from a second marriage. You can't, you know, bring in your new wife. So there's things we could do. And it's just a matter of understanding the relationship and understanding how they want to safeguard their children from their spouse, from their surviving spouse. And there's many different variations of that we could set up. Like, for example, for my trust, you know, I'm with you, Karen. I've seen enough to know that, I've seen enough to know that, you know, second marriages happen naturally, especially if you're a younger couple. If something were to happen, the chances of a remarriage statistically, and you know, it's going to be high. And when that happens, I want to make sure that he has control over his half, but that my half, even though he can use it, he has to be careful how he uses it, right? because my kids could sue him if he completely depletes that trust. And I want to make sure that there's something that ends up with my kids and that the second marriage doesn't just pass away and everything ends up going to his second wife and my kids are standing there like, hey, we got nothing. And this stepmom's children got everything, which happens all the time. And that's a lot of the reason why things end up in disputed in court. Okay, so we have parameters set up
right there to talk to you. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just got hives and you have done my trust.
I was going to say, I wonder how you have yours set up, Kendall. Does Stan's new wife get anything?
Yeah, I actually don't remember. I remember having this conversation with her, but I don't remember what it was you decided, but you know, it was a good conversation. You know, one of the things that I do remember, Armanet, that you brought up that I'd never thought of is what happens to my social accounts.
Yeah, after digital. Mm-hmm.
That Karen's screwing her face up.
Your social accounts.
Yeah, like Facebook. What happens to your Facebook account after you die?
Oh, who cares? Like, doesn't it just go away?
No, it'll live on forever unless you do something.
Does that have to be dealt with an attorney?
Well, no, but you can, at least you can have a conversation about it.
Oh, okay. I'm dead. I don't care.
Yeah. You know, for most people, they don't care because they have just basic social media accounts. They don't do much with it. But for a lot of people that have, let's say, a social media presence and they have content that's valuable that they're obtaining money from, like their advertising and their content creators, those are the ones that will require some more sophisticated digital planning. But for the most of us, you know, even if you don't care, we want to make sure that the estate plan also covers the digital assets just in case you end up, you know, buying some digital currency that you forget to tell your loved ones about, and that we have control to go in and liquidate or to go in and shut down your Facebook account and do what you want. So that's a whole different type of asset.
So a long time ago, I attended a lecture called The Box. Mm-hmm. And it was this woman who suffered the death of her spouse and just was shocked at how much information she did not have that she needed. Do you keep like a checklist of stuff that people should have gathered together in the event of death?
You should, if that's your question. You should have. We have a digital instruction sheet that we encourage clients to fill out with passwords and usernames. And obviously it's their choice how they want to store it. Some clients choose to use an online storage bank, a password bank, where they'll put in one password and just give that to their spouse and they'll have access to all of their passwords within that site. But it's important to not only keep a track and a running list of all of your digital accounts, but also your actual financial sheet where you have listed, like, for example, I have listed what I keep, the contents of my safety deposit box, how many bank accounts I have, which banks they're at, all of my life insurance policies, including who the agent is to contact. I have a list of all the vaccines for my kids and the doctor's informations because I want to make sure that if I'm not there, you know, grandma is going to be able to find their pediatrician's information and know what my schedule is for how to vaccinate them in the future. I've kind of thought it all out so that all they have to do is just follow that versus making the actual decision. But the digital information is very important because as things become more digitized, you know, people are checking that box when they sign up for accounts that say paperless statements, send me an email with my statement instead. And so what ends up happening is when they're gone, one of the traditional ways that we gather information is to wait until statements would come in the mail. A successor trustee would literally open up the mail and say, hey, I know they have a B of A account. Great. Well, if you check paperless statements, we're not going to get that information in the mail. And your statement's going to be sent into an email account somewhere that no one's going to have access to. So we want to make sure that we have a digital trustee appointed that's going to be legally able to go to Google or go to Yahoo and say, hey, please give me all the information in this account. And they'll be able to have access to that information.
Good Lord.
I know. This is overwhelming.
It's a lot, but yeah. It's really important. On that vein, we at Digs are planning a Simplify Your Life event on October, when is it? October 18th at 6 p.m. here at Digs. Armin A. is going to be one of our featured experts as well as a professional organizer. And our goal is to help you simplify your physical stuff. That's what the organizer, Michelle, will help us with. To simplify your, what would you call this, Armin A., your financial stuff, your
yeah, basically your database of your database, important information that somebody would need to know to run your life, whether you've died or you're incapacitated.
Corinne's eyes are like huge, like dinner plates right
well,
now.
Well, I'm going to need you, Armin A., when I see you.
She's awesome. She's awesome. I love Armin A. I swear to God, she is like one of the smartest estate attorneys I've ever met, like ever. And I've met a lot of them. So we're going to do that. And then we're also going to talk about simplifying your physical space. Maybe that's downsizing. Maybe that is acquiring a home or a living situation that is just more in keeping for who you are now. Maybe you bought a huge two-story house when you had a gajillion kids, and now they're all out of the house. And really what you would love is a one-story home that's easy to care for, and you don't need the huge yard with the pool and the, you know, horse stalls or whatever. I'm being crazy, but you just want something that will allow you to shut the door and go traveling to Europe, three months out of the year. Whatever that simplifying looks like for you, that's what we're going to cover in our event, Simplify Your Life, October 18th at 6 p.m. here at Diggs. Watch our website for more information. Armin A., I had asked if you could even maybe bring us a list of things that somebody should gather in the event that you pass away, that your loved ones will know how to get into your accounts, how to get into your stuff, where the keys to your car are, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to bring us a list like that. Yeah.
I'd be happy to share a template, you know, file or whatnot, however you want it, for people to get started and thinking about what they need, and then, you know, add to it based on whatever special circumstance that they have in their life.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say I need a list, but then so I'll get my list going and then I call you.
Yeah, that could be definitely one way to do it. Okay. So you can either call Armin A. now if you've listened to this podcast and like Karin, you've got a case of the hives and you just want to get it done right now. Armin A., if somebody wanted to call you or contact you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to schedule the appointment is obviously through the phone, but we have a website, www.bezekianlaw.com, and we have a plethora of videos and information there as well as all of our contact information.
Wait, so for those of you listening who are not, you know, like me, part of my Armenian brothers and sisters, how do you spell Bezekian?
So it's B like boy, A Z I K Y A N like Nancy, LAW.com.
Okay, Bezekianlaw.com. And what is your phone number if they want to contact you on the phone?
It would be 818-649-9110.
We'll also have all of that information in the show notes for this podcast, as well as a bunch of other links that should give you some great information. Armin A., this has been an awesome conversation. I can't wait to see you at our simplifying event on October 18th. Is there anything you want to share with the people as your parting shot, as it were?
I think we've covered a lot to get people started in thinking about the process.
Right. I think the biggest point here is don't get overwhelmed and do nothing. If you're overwhelmed and you're feeling like you're paralyzed, just pick up the phone and call Armin A. or call me at Diggs, and we will get you started with the first little step. And this happens one tiny little step at a time, right?
Right. And Kendall, our meetings, the initial consultation meeting, is completely free at my office. So I encourage people to come in, learn about the process, learn what it is that they might need, and then go out and make a decision or interview other attorneys, whatever they feel comfortable doing. But at least get the ball rolling, you know, so that you're not just not doing anything like Aretha Franklin.
Don't be Aretha.
Oh my God. I can't. Okay.
Yeah. Really?
I like that the first consultation is free, because that'll motivate people to get in.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm an attorney, but we try to make the process not, you know, super legal and stressful, so that it's, you know, it's, I want you to be my friend, you know, somebody will walk in through my doors as a stranger, but I want them to walk out feeling comfortable enough to be my friend and to reach out at any point in their life with any changes that happen, just to ask me, hey, I'm doing this. Is this okay? And, you know, the way we structure our firm is I don't charge hourly for a phone conversation 6 months after the process. I don't want you to be deterred and not call me and go ask your mechanic a legal question about your estate plan. I want you to call me. And not be afraid that that 2 minute conversation is going to rack up a phone bill for you and a legal bill. So I want it to be a growing relationship, and I want the relationship to go on for many, many years. Right. But so you know, we don't want to not do anything like Aretha Franklin, because now we can get all of her financial information. It's a part of public process.
Wow.
So everyone's going to know everything she has, and everyone's going to know who gets what.
Yeah, don't be Aretha. Call Armine or call. Yeah. I mean, I hope you call Armine, but seriously, the point here of the podcast is that this is something that if you haven't thought about it and haven't done it yet, you need to do it now. Armine or someone else. So, Armine, thank you so much. This has been fun like always. And we will see, well, everybody else gets to see you on October 18th. I will probably see you, I think, later on this week, right? Or next week. I forget. Soon. We'll be seeing each other soon. Okay.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Talk to you later.